Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts and starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app. I'm on the road again.
104.7 Triple M, ruined its, have headed north. Destination, the top end.
Crikey.
Finally, the boys are landing in a town where drinking in the morning isn't frowned upon. Jeez, one hand on the NT bitter, one hand on the fishing rod, and the other hand flicking through the NT news.
There's a cyclone coming to Darwin.
Tropical and topical, it's ruined its, live from Darwin.
Oh, good morning, Roo. We survived another day up here in the top end.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it? We did, and we'll tell you about it later on. But we had a night out with the couple of the Long brothers, and what an amazing night. Did a bit of spear fishing and got a few barramundi and a few tales to tell.
Yeah, I was actually very, very scared last night. I feared for my life.
So'd we. We were worried about you too.
Just quickly, imagine going through mangroves in pitch black darkness, right? Cannot see an inch in front of you. And I'm relying on the bloke up the front of the boat with a spotlight. And I know there are snakes, there are crocodiles, there are everything all around me. And the biggest fish you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I was very, very happy to get back on dry land.
And you're in a 12-foot tinny.
Yes.
With only about a foot from the water and you can't swim.
The croc we saw was only 3.5 metres long, by the way.
You'd be right wrestling that.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll tell you more about that later on. Amazing stuff. Hey, yesterday as well, Roo, we went out to some of the waterfalls here. It's about a 2-hour drive. And I know you did this the other day, a 2-hour drive out of Darwin. How spectacular is it?
Yeah, Litchfield National Park. Mm. It's a bit of a journey getting there, but once you get there, it is one of the most beautiful things you'll see anywhere in the world.
Yep.
So if you're bobbing up to Darwin, get out to Litchfield and see some spectacular waterfalls and go for a bit of a swim and have a bit of a look around.
Amazing stuff. What's coming up on the show today, Roo?
We have got Jacko coming in, Jackson Trengo from Port Adelaide. Played his 150th on the weekend. He'll be having a chat to us about Port Adelaide's season. They're up in the top four and got a big game against the Demons at the MCG this weekend.
Yep.
No Bernie Vince to play in that game. We'll have a chat to him. We've got the Angels in later on. We've got Pete Hellier coming on to have a chat as well. We'll have a chat about Wyala, who all things are starting to look a little bit healthier up there, which is going to play a big part in the success of the state going forward.
Oh, this is great news. It really is. Hey, with the Angels, by the way, we're going to delve further into that AFL affair. We spoke about it yesterday. We'll find out what the Angels think.
You've got a bit of a rumour on that too, Dits, about where that come from.
On the AFL scandal?
Yes.
Have you?
You have.
I have.
You remember?
You handballed it to me, right. Fair enough. We've got a rumour on the AFL scandal. Ruined Dits here on Triple M. 6:09, ruined it's on this Tuesday morning. Only thing missing last night, Roo, we had cold beer, we had pizza, we were catching barramundi, there were crocodiles, we weren't playing Barnsley. That was the only thing missing in the background. Everything else is as ochre as you could get.
Barnsley would scare the fish away, that's why.
That's right.
Why you didn't have it.
Yeah, hey, making news around the place, Roo. Now, you know there's the AFL scandal that's carrying on at the moment. The one that's been going on for the last, 18 months or so, is Amber Harrison versus Channel 7.
Yep.
And it was handed down yesterday that she has lost her legal battle against the Seven Network.
This strategy against an employee, an individual, racks up ridiculous legal bills unnecessarily. They knew it would bankrupt me, and the Supreme Court of New South Wales has helped them do it. In the end, it is regular people like you and I that end up being victims of brutal corporate bullying and lawfare.
Cost, how do you feel about having to fork that up?
Oh, I'm not going to pay it. I can't pay it.
So they're saying it will bankrupt, or she's saying it will bankrupt her. It's over $430,000 or something.
A huge amount of money. Mm. And she did get paid a bit of money to keep things confidential. Well, I don't know if she spent that or whatever, but anything she's got will have to go towards paying this fine.
Well, she's in trouble for one reason, Roo. She signed a gag order and she spoke. She spoke out publicly. That is why she lost the case.
No.
So it's not actually about what happened in the sordid affair or anything like that. It's the fact that she spoke publicly, having signed a confidentiality agreement and a gag order, not to talk about
it. Well, if that's the case, she's that's some pretty bad advice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not good news. You don't want anyone going broke and that's, yeah, terrible stuff.
Rue, sorry, just a final comment from my side of this. I'm not saying he's right or wrong or she's right or wrong, but at the end of the day, it's similar to the AFL thing where two consenting adults get involved in something like this. I don't know. You've got to kind of live with your own actions, don't you? Your own convictions and say, well, we're adults. We made these choices. We got involved. Now I don't like it.
Yeah,
I might sue someone.
Well, certainly the AFL stuff, everyone's having their say, and lots of people can't believe why the blokes have been sacked. Lots of people were. Carolyn Wilson's been slammed for naming the girls, the ladies' names. We spoke about them yesterday, saying why shouldn't they be lost their jobs as well. So I think everyone's got a difference of opinion on where it should be at the moment.
Yep. All right, what else is making news?
Up in Whyalla, things are looking a little bit better. The new owner, Sanjeev Gupta, was up in Whyalla yesterday and said the sky's the limit for Whyalla. He's saying he's going to pump over $1 billion into the plant to help it improve. They're doing 1.2 to 1.5 million tonnes at the moment. He's saying there's no reason why that can't go to 5 to 10 million tonnes.
Wow.
So that is 4 to 8 times bigger than what it is at the moment. He said it doesn't make any sense at the moment that we've got all the raw materials here and we can ship it over to the other side of the world and they can do it competitively. He said that doesn't take rocket science to work out that that doesn't stack up. So he's really optimistic about the future of Whyalla. He's not going to say how many jobs there could be, but he's saying that the fact that all the staff took a 10% pay cut was inspiring to them and that they really are behind the future of the business and things are looking okay. So yeah, in time that could be good. He said the biggest thing that they need to be addressed up there, surprise surprise, is power. So I don't know if that means he'll want some support from the state government there,
or he should get it too. He should get it,
which highlights the fact that we're probably shouldn't have shut down that power station to start with.
Yeah, and Rue, we said this last week, but you know what? If you are any small business in Whyalla right now, you know, you own the pub, the local deli, whatever it is you've got, the petrol station, this surely is just a massive shot in the arm for you.
Yeah.
You'd be thinking any husband and wife up there owning any, even your own house right now, where you probably thought, how on earth would I sell my house and not make a loss? All of this could change overnight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The whole Iron Triangle is more optimistic with a few things that are going on up there at the moment, which is great news. And the last one for the top three is unpaid fines in South Australia. This is unbelievable. 20 of the worst fine defaulters owe $3.1 million.
20 people. Well, pay your bloody fines, Rue.
One bloke. Well, there is a Port Lincoln fella over there, Diz. But one fella, 427 fines, $339,000 of unpaid fines. How is he not?
You got locked up for this.
Well, he'd have to be.
Fine defaulters.
You'd have to be. I don't know how you get away with that, but 3.1 mil is not in the state coffers because people aren't paying their fines.
That's amazing.
That's huge. A lot of money.
All right, good on you.
It's
in a moment.
Of parking tickets.
It is. We're going to cross to the US in just a moment. How's this for a tragedy? This Australian woman who called police in good faith, she heard a dispute outside her back door, has ended up being shot dead by a US police officer. We're going to cross over there in a moment and find out exactly how this went wrong. Terrible story. Ruined. It's here on Triple M.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
6:19, ruined it for breakfast. Top of 15, 95% of rain in Adelaide today, Roo. But up here in the top end, what are we expecting today?
33.
And what are you expecting tomorrow?
33.
And what about the day after?
33.
And the day after that?
34.
Okay. Oh, really? Hell.
Heat wave.
Right. Very serious though, Roo. Over in the US, this is terrible. An Australian lady called Justine DeMond shot dead outside her home in Minnesota, and her son has spoken to the press.
All right, so basically, my mom is dead because the police officer shot her for reasons I don't know, and I demand answers. And if anybody can help, just call the police and demand answers. I'm so done with all this violence. It's so much America sucks. These cops need to get trained differently.
Zach, can you share what you know about the situation?
I just know that she heard a sound in the alley, so then she called the police, and the cops showed up. And she was a very passionate woman, and she probably, she thought there was like something bad was happening, and then next thing I know, they take my best friend's life.
There you go. The son of Justine DeMond, Australian woman from Sydney, shot dead. In a moment, we will cross to the United States and find out the absolute latest. The police officer has been named. We'll find out more in just a moment. Ruined It's on Triple M. 6:23, it's Ruined It's here on Triple M, coming to you from Darwin. Roo, we're having trouble getting our US correspondent up, but just this story, which, again, just defies belief. Justine DeMond is a 40-year-old lady from Sydney. She's living in Minnesota. She heard a noise in the back alley where she's living, and she's gone outside to investigate. She's in her pajamas, calls police and says, look, there's something going on in the back alley. Police arrive. Now, the police officer has been named this morning. Mohammed Noor is his name. He's the first ever Somalian police officer appointed to the police force in Minnesota. Okay. So groundbreaking for him.
Yep.
And apparently he's just sitting in his car. She approached the car in her pajamas, but she was on her phone. And, anyway, it's all gone awry. We can go to our US correspondent right now. From Channel 9 this morning, Alexis Daish. Alexis, thanks so much for taking our call. What have you been able to find out in the last 12 hours or so?
Yeah, look, essentially what we believe to have happened on Saturday night is that Justine, an Australian woman, Sydney woman, who's been living here with her fiancé, Don, she heard at the back of her house what she thought was a sexual assault happening. She called 911, police arrived. When they pulled up into an alley, one of the officers, I believe the officer in the passenger seat, has shot through the driver's side door and tragically shot Justine dead.
Have the police released any statement?
I've only got a couple of minutes. I've got to go live in 5 minutes.
Okay.
My own network.
No worries. Just finally then, have police said anything at all as to why he may have fired?
No, they haven't. And they issued a new statement this morning, but it doesn't say much at all. The only different bit of information is that it says after the fatal shooting, police officers searched the scene and did not find any weapon. In other words, just saying the victim was not armed with any sort of weapon, which just makes this all the more tragic because she wasn't a threat. Terrible situation.
Yeah. All right, Alexis, we'll let you go. You sound like you are under the pump. Thanks so much for taking our call. Alexis Daish is from Channel 9, and she'll be reporting on it throughout the morning. Just a terrible bungle, Roo.
Where's their training at with the police? How many times have we heard this year, just in different circumstances, where police have shot people? Now, I don't know whether they're in the wrong all the time, but they seem a bit trigger-happy over there, and that might be a bit of a general statement. I don't know, Dits, but it sounds in this case it's definitely the way.
I think when you're...
The lady's in her pyjamas. She's got no... she's the one who's made the call.
I would have thought not looking threatening at all. She's walked out into the back alley in her pyjamas.
On her phone.
You're right.
It's a long way from threatening, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially if she's called for and complained about a sexual assault.
Yeah, correct.
It'd be different if a bloke come running out that might have been the bloke who was assaulting.
Well, this young officer's got a lot of explaining to do. There's no doubt. Ruined It's for breakfast here on Triple M.
104.7 Triple M. Ruined It's overnight sports.
Roo Crow skipper Taylor Walker, who, by the way, joins us tomorrow morning here on the program at 7.10. He's got until this morning to accept a $1,000 fine from the match review panel for striking demon Jordan Lewis. Now, I didn't see this one, did you?
I didn't either, but apparently punched him in the back. It's the second week in a row he's got a fine. In the AFL now, with the match review panel the way it is, if you get three fines in a season, did you get an automatic game? Now, the Crows, there's some talk that whether the Crows think he has actually got two of the type of fines that'll get him that next suspension. So that'll be cleared up, I would say, in the next week or two.
Now, I was on holidays last week, so I didn't get any papers or anything, but I didn't realise he'd been fined for that shove on Jason Johannesson, which now has him in trouble.
Yep.
That's disgraceful.
What's that?
Do we really think that he was deliberately trying to push Jason Johannesson into a goalpost and hurt him?
Well, they must have thought that he did, Dits, if they fined him, I presume. But, you know, you could make a case for saying he didn't know what he was doing, but they're certainly getting a bit tougher on anything to do with the head, and his head ended up hitting the post, which, you know, was that Texas fault that his head hit the post? I'm sure he wasn't aiming for his head to hit the post. He might have been just trying to shove him out the way, and that was the result of it, but they're very, very tough on blokes who do anything that knock the head of the opposition player.
This is out of control. It really is. Anyway, that's for another day. You've got a couple of key injuries, as you know, Roo. The Crows, we're talking Rory Sloan and Jake Lever heading into this weekend's clash. And James Podsiadly has spoken out about the two injuries.
Yeah, he would get a scan today, but he just experienced some tightness in that hammy that he's had some issues with in the past. So from a coaching perspective and our fitness staff perspective, it's more a precautionary thing. So we see how he pulls up next couple of days, some memory testing and stuff. So he'll do that today. He'll do it, I think, on Wednesday and Thursday, and even potentially the day of the game, I think.
So they're going to give him right up to game day to see whether Rory Sloan can play, which is great news for Adelaide. I think he'll be highly likely to get up. I'm not sure about Jake Lever. I wouldn't think they'll be taking any chances there. Bernie Vince got two-game ban, Dits, which was not the three that I got told he might get, but surprisingly, the one he got off with was the Richard Douglas bump, which I thought was the one he was going to get games, and he got games for the Eddie Betts elbow to the head. So it's a bit unpredictable, the match review panel at the moment, but I think Bernie would take the two, which is obviously better than three that we thought. You probably thought he was going to get none, but he's got two.
This match review panel, I cannot follow it at all. I think it's laughable. I really do. No, again, this is as consistent as deliberate out of bounds. You have no idea what they're going to hand down from week to week.
Yeah, there is definitely a bit of a grey area, and I think Bernie would be comfortable with that. But
I don't think he would at all.
Well, it could have easily been more.
Yeah, it could have been, and it could have been none as well.
Well, no one was suggesting he was going to get off other than you.
All right. Well, I'm in the minority then. Fair enough. Hey, Jackson Trengo, who joins us just after 7, he's got $1,000 as well for a hit on North Melbourne Scott Thompson.
Yeah.
Scott Thompson must have gotten in the way. He'd
be the most striked player in the AFL, Scott Thompson.
Yep.
He's always stirring blokes.
Paddy Dangerfield yesterday took the mickey out of the press and everyone else that's had a comment about his injury. Roo, I want to make a statement here. If he plays Friday, then he does need to have a good look at himself. You can't come off on one leg. When I say one leg, he had one leg in the air being helped by two trainers, which suggests that you can't walk on it, you can't put any weight on it, you can't run on it.
Yep.
And that means you've hurt yourself pretty badly. You should be out for a couple of weeks at least.
Yep.
If he plays Friday night, then he's taken the mickey out of all of us. No, serious.
Well, he come back on and kicked 5 goals. So.
Yeah.
Look, some injuries do get worse the day after this. They do.
If you come off, as I've said, the two trainers helping you off, you can't walk on it, you've got to be really hurt in that case.
What about blokes who come off on a stretcher and then come back on in the same game?
Say no more. Say no more.
Hopefully one ex-Crows player's listening out there that did that. But,
who was that? Name him.
No, I'm not naming
him. Come on.
No, David Pittman.
Pathetic.
He had one stitch put in, and that's another.
Well, to be fair, nah, look, if a stretcher came out and I had the choice, do I walk off or get carried off? I suppose I'll let them carry me.
Yeah,
off.
Get a free ride.
Why would I walk off?
Why not? But Danger was in a moon boot yesterday and rocked up with a headband and everything, taking the mickey out of him. So we'll wait and see. But Crows fans will be hoping he doesn't play Friday night. And Dustin Martin also got off and got a couple of fines as well. So he's still eligible for the Brownlow medal. But if he gets another fine, Dits, he won't be there, and it'll be Patrick Dangerfield's Brownlow medal to lose.
AFL football now, we're calling it the untouchables. Don't do anything, don't hit anyone, don't run past someone.
Don't hit him in the head.
Don't do anything.
Don't hit him in the head.
That's our look at sport. 6.52, ruined it's on this Tuesday morning. Coming to you from Darwin, where it's about 33 degrees at this time of the morning.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful, Dits. Game of Thrones is a series that a lot of people are watching out there.
Game of what?
Game of Thrones.
Right.
It's up to Series 7 now. I've heard
what channel's that on?
That is on Foxtel Now at the moment. If you want the cheapest way, you
Foxtel
can...
Foxtel Now.
Isn't it?
Where does that come on the dial? There's 2, 7, 9, 10. Where does that come?
Well, it's in the Foxtel category, fancy enough. It's the cheapest way to be able to watch it, even if you haven't got a Foxtel contract for 12 months. So people were going on to try and watch it yesterday for the brand new series. And because so many people were trying to do it, they couldn't get on.
Get out.
No, they had unprecedented demand. And people couldn't watch the show. But in case you don't know what it is all about, and that's you and me, Dits, here's a little snapshot.
Game of Thrones is a television series based on fantasy books written by George R.R. Martin.
Dragons haven't won a war in 300 years.
It's hugely popular worldwide based on the large and talented cast, high production values, the long winding story arcs, and the complex and challenging characters.
When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. There is no middle ground.
The sex, nudity, and violence also helps keep people interested.
I can't be in love with a whore.
Basically, there is a kingdom called Westeros, and a whole bunch of people are trying to sit on the throne to rule this fantasy land.
Whatever stands in our way, we will defeat it.
There is a little man.
I'm guilty of being a dwarf.
Some dragons.
I will have a very large army. And very large dragons.
Killing and politics aren't always the same thing.
A lot of badasses.
If any more words come pouring out your mouth, I'm gonna have to eat every chicken in this room.
Some guy called Jon Snow.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
And your favourite character is probably gonna die.
Bring me his head.
Hang him last so he can watch the others die.
To cut a long story short, that's Game of Thrones.
There's a lot to pack in there.
There is a lot to pack in there.
I can relate to sitting on the throne. That was one bit I picked up. I can relate. Jon Snow played for England, opened the bowling.
No, he did he? Bit of blood.
Yeah. I've just seen a survey. 34% of our breakfast listeners watch Game of Thrones. Very popular.
You better get involved, it's
unbelievable.
We'll get on to that next week when we
get into
from
all
down.
That fantasy. Dragons haven't won for 300 years, haven't won a war and all that sort of jazz. What do you think, Ruth?
How about we both watch it and get back to our listeners and see what we think?
Well, you try and watch it and it crashes.
give it a spell. Give it a day to catch up and we'll watch it next week.
All right. I'll come around to your place. Beautiful. If we all go to each other's houses, not as many of us will be going online, it won't crash.
Good idea,
Have little parties.
Very clever.
Game of Thrones parties. I'll come dressed as a dragon, Roo.
I'll be on the throne.
Righto, it's ruined. It's for breakfast on Triple M.
Pressure test time. Give us a call, 1-333-53 for your chance to win $500.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts in starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
I'm on the road again.
104.7 Triple M.
Ruandits have headed north. Destination, the top end.
Crikey.
Finally, the boys are landing a town where drinking in the morning isn't frowned upon.
Cheers, mate.
One hand on the NT bitter, one hand on the fishing rod, and the other hand flicking through the NT news.
There's a cyclone coming, Darwin.
Tropical and topical, it's Ruandits, live from Darwin.
Oh, we are having a great time up here, aren't we, Roo?
Absolutely magnificent. Missed our flight home after the game, but we're staying for a week. The next flight we can get out's Friday. We'll get home before the Crows and Geelong game Friday night.
Yep.
Thought we were going fishing yesterday, but we went fishing with a spear instead.
Unbelievable.
We'll tell you more about that later on in the hour. We're going down in a crocodile cage today in the main street of Darwin.
What's that cage made of?
Perspex. It's not,
what?
Not steel.
Perspex is like plastic.
Yeah, and you know what the crocodile's name is?
What?
Chopper.
Yeah,
only 5.5 metres. You'll be right, Ditz. You'll be right.
Away.
You saw a 3-metre one out fishing last night.
Saw one last night, yeah. Hey, just a reminder, Tex Walker will be in tomorrow morning at about this time. In a moment, Jackson Trengove to join us. But first up, let's try and give away some money.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point! Pressure point!
Ruined Ditz. Pressure test.
Righto, Roo, who have you got on the blower this morning?
We've got Luke from Fulham Gardens. G'day, Luke.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Very, very well. What are you up to today?
Oh, just on my way to the gym, mate.
Yeah, going to go and pump some iron, are you?
Oh, going to try. Going to try. The missus is starting to complain, reckons I'm getting a bit flabby, so better go do something.
How old are you?
30, nearly 32.
Gee, you shouldn't be getting flabby at 32. Imagine if
on the weekend, I think.
Imagine if you said that to her. How would that go?
Yeah, you know, she shouldn't be awake now, so it should be right.
Now, listen, I've got a very important question to ask you, Luke. Do you watch, we had this big story that happened yesterday. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, I don't, no.
You don't?
No, right, I haven't got into it, no.
All right. No, that's all right. That's we just need to do our homework.
We do.
Righto, Roo, let's give away $500, shall we?
All right. You need 10 correct answers in 30 seconds.
And this is topical because we're up here in Darwin and it's so beautiful and it's beachy sort of weather, Roo. Mm.
The opposite to Adelaide.
The opposite to Adelaide at the moment. Luke, in 30 seconds, 10 things you would take if you were going to the beach.
Sunscreen, towel, hat, swimmers. A ball, a cricket bat, inflatable toy, a surfboard, a boogie board, a stand-up board, floaties, kids, umbrella.
Yeah, all right.
Hang on, we're finished.
Settle down. Right, let's go to the adjudicator.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 correct!
Well done, buddy. 500,
he's fainted,
mate.
Luke's passed out.
Awesome.
He's there, Luke.
I thought you'd already gone to the beach.
Right, right on. Stay on the line and have a great gym workout.
Get a PB at the gym after that.
Yeah, can I just say,
I'll point
something
out. Have a good one.
Righto.
Good on you, Lukey.
He snuck through by the skin of his teeth.
I know he
did. Please say to me tomorrow, I'm off to the gym. I'm off to the gym to...
Yes.
Do what?
Have a PB on the treadmill.
Ride the bike, get on the treadmill, pump some iron.
Break my bench press record.
Correct.
Yeah.
You're very lucky, Luke.
Well, he's lucky, but he's lucky in two ways because he won 500 afterwards.
All right, Roo, in a moment, Jackson Trengo from Port Adelaide to join us, and they've had a couple of good wins while we've been away. We'll talk to him in just a moment here on Triple M. 7-11 ruined its on this Tuesday morning on Triple M.
Big Texan coming in tomorrow. He's usually in today, but we've improved, Ditz.
We've raised the bar.
Jackson Trengove's with us.
Triple M on Ruin Dits.
Goes to Jackson Trengove. He can actually have a shot on goal if he wants. And as easy as you like, he kicks the first goal.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove.
For Comwire IT. Complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Oh, big fella, good morning. Jackson Trengove.
Morning, lads.
Yeah, we got the white shorts on, Jackson. We're playing an away game this week.
Yeah,
sorry, we're not there with you.
Just treating yourself to another holiday. It's nice and warm here in Adelaide anyway. It's -5 while you guys bathe in the sun up there in Darwin. So
We went fishing. Went fishing with one of your old teammates last night, Brent Renouf, the big ruckman.
Yeah, he does pride himself on his fishing, the big fella, and. I think he spoke more about fishing than what he did football when he was at our footy club, because it must be that good. And obviously, it's a pretty good experience from what I've been told to get up there and fish.
Well, he has to be a good fisherman. He married into the Long family. If you can't play footy and you can't fish, you're not allowed to marry one of the daughters.
Yeah, you're in a bit of strife if you can't. But it would have been a good experience for you, lads.
Now, Jacko, you're a bit light on in the pocket this week. What happened?
Yeah, copped the $1,000 fine again. I was a bit stiff, actually, to be honest. You're always stiff to get a fine.
Of course, yeah.
I'll be eating baked beans with the kid this week, and because I can't afford it. Can't afford the usual meat, but I just copped it on the chin.
150th game, too. You would have thought they might have let you off in the 150th. But, and also, the bloke you hit is one of the most hit blokes in the AFL, Scotty Thompson.
Yeah, I thought those two things would have made up for me getting off, but CD sort of chased me down yesterday and said, "You've got the fine," and I did plead with him for a little bit, but just copped it on the chin, boys.
What happens there? Do you have to write a cheque, or do they just take it out of your wages for the month? How does that all work?
Yeah, straight out of your wages, so you're a bit light on every time you get the pay packet at the end of the year. I think last year I had about 5 or 6, so this year's been all right. This has been my first, so it's been a pretty good year.
You're still paying off your debts from last year, eh?
Yeah, I actually looked for CD's help last year because I said that I was the solo undersized ruckman, so I said, CD, you're going to have to help me out a bit last year, but this year he didn't want to borrow it.
Who's the tightest player at Port Adelaide? Who would be the filthiest if they copped a, $1,000 or $2,000 fine?
Kane Corns definitely was. He was unbelievably tight with his money, but probably now...
He might get done for striking, sir. He's annoying everyone in the AFL. Dangerfield, Hardwick.
Yeah, they're going hard, aren't they? I think he's Tex and him are going toe for toe. So
Ditz. He had to go at Ditz in the
crack at me in the lift.
In the lift.
Other night.
Really? At the footy.
Yeah, leaving the game.
In front of everyone. Didn't hold back.
Yeah.
Poor Ditz. No, I think there's a couple of type blokes at our footy club, but Kane was definitely the worst.
When you see those boxers in the ring and they're up against the ropes with both gloves up in front of their face, that's what I was like. He just kept coming and
still
coming.
Still talking.
Everyone's on his list at the moment. I think he's taking anyone in his path. It's quite interesting to watch.
Now, let's talk a bit of footy. Paddy Ryder, a very important player for Port Adelaide. Will he play this week with that ankle?
Yeah, he will. He obviously pulled up a little bit sore, but he's a professional with the way he goes about his recovery, and he's already walking around and will probably train this week. So I think he'll have light duties today, but Thursday in our main session, he'll be out there, I'd suggest.
Were you happy with the way things went last weekend? I mean, you blew them out of the water early and then just sort of coasted to the line and won by 70 points. That's not a bad result.
Yeah, it was a good result. It's always good to win by that much. The boys were terrific in that first quarter and really set up the game. And the second quarter, we probably had a few things we would have liked to work on and fix up. But then, the second half was very strong. And we just spoke about having a strong second half to take into the next week's game. You can sort of see that if you sort of back off too much, you can almost take that form into the following week. So that's something that we'll definitely be working on over the next few weeks.
Jacko, we were on holidays last week. We didn't get the chance to talk to you. That West Coast win, I reckon, is one of the best in a long, long time, because you were really, really challenged. You're away from home at the House of Pain, and the way you boys finished off that last quarter was superb.
Yeah, I think the second half, to be fair, was pretty strong for us. They sort of got on a roll with 7 goals, and we were really working hard to try and just stay in the game at one stage. And just before halftime, we got a little bit of a run, and we followed that up in the second half with a terrific performance. And as you mentioned, over there, it's a brutal crowd. Their crowd's as good as what you get over here. And for our lads to really step up and take that form on, I think it was a turning point in our season.
Good on you, Jacko. Stay with us. More with Jackson Trengove in just a moment. Thanks to Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Paddy Dangerfield got accused of faking injuries by Kane Corns, our man of the moment at the... Jackson, who is the softest bloke at Port Adelaide? I want to ask you that next.
All right. More with Jackson Trengove coming up.
Triple M
on Ruin Dits.
Goes to Jackson Trengrove. He can actually have a shot on goal if he wants. And as easy as you like, he kicks the first goal.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengrove.
For Comwire IT. Complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Yep, the big fella's in the studio. We're up here in Darwin.
There has to be one soft.
What do you mean?
At Port.
No.
It's got half soft?
No, it doesn't happen. Jackson, we've got no soft players, have we?
There's definitely no soft players, but I've got a couple of good stories. Chaddy Wingard, my little mate, obviously in some really good form. But one first trip when he come over, we were in New Zealand, and the trip got a little bit too hard for him. So he may have faked an injury or fell off his bike on purpose. To get the lift in the helicopter up the mountain without it having to do the work. So forever have I ripped into him, and I accidentally hurt my ankle one game, and I got on the green whistle. I thought I broke my ankle. Nothing come of that one, which was pretty
embarrassing. Explain the green whistle, please.
Well, the green whistle basically takes away all your pain. So I was squealing on the boundary, thinking I'd broken my ankle, and turns out it was just a rolled ankle, basically. And
whistle's morphine, isn't it?
Yeah, Wingard forever, ever to this day, has still rips into me. But we go toe for toe with those two stories. So,
have you given that green whistle back, or have you still got it?
Yeah, it's pretty embarrassing, Dits, to be honest, because I pride myself on getting back from injuries or dealing with the pain. But this one, I could have swore I broke my ankle, but just a rolled one. So I copped that from time to time.
Paddy Dangerfield about you?
Well, I think that was he's quite a tough player, so I would say that was quite soft from what I did. And Chaddy Wingard lets me know every single day, I think.
Roo, who was the softest in your day at your club?
David Pittman. we couldn't get into the physio room. They named the physio room the David Pittman physio room.
Oh, no.
All his aches and pains. Good morning, Pitto.
Yeah, if you're
listening. You're out there.
Righto, Jacko, you got the Melbourne Demons this weekend. They didn't have a good weekend in Darwin.
They'll be all bruised and battered for you, Jackson.
Yeah. They're without Bernie Vince, very important player. I don't think Viney or Jones are coming back yet.
Should get Salem and Dom Tyson back.
Yeah. How do you see this one, Jacko?
Well, I think it's going to be an absolute belter, boys. I think, coming back from Darwin, it's always a hard trip to come back from. But, we're playing some really good footy, and obviously we know what Melbourne can do, and especially on the MCG back at their home. So it's a big one for both teams. The ladder's obviously pretty tight, as we all know. So we'll be looking to perform like we have the last 2 weeks, and hopefully we can get the 4 points.
Now, Chad Wingard, interesting player at the moment. A couple of weeks ago, got 39 touches on ball, but then can go, obviously you're missing him up forward with the goals, and he did that on the weekend. He went forward again. So where are you going to play him? What's his best role, do you think?
You guys weren't happy with him going into the midfield, but he did go in the midfield against West Coast in that second half. He played the whole first half up forward and then went into the second half, into the midfield, and we were able to kick enough goals without him there. But I think just his versatility is just so important for our team. And we've got a number of players that can play in a heap of roles, which makes it very good for Ken. If something's not quite working, Ken can really mix it up with our players, and Chaddy's exactly the same. He can go forward. I think he still kicked three on the weekend and played a lot in the midfield. So he's in the best form of his career, which is saying something from a bloke that's got two All-Australians at 23.
Your short price favourites to beat Melbourne in Melbourne. That is a confidence booster. You guys are on 40 points and a good percentage. They're on 36. So if you beat them here, I think it's nearly impossible for them to finish above you on the ladder. So this is a huge game. Win this one, I think you'll finish top four, Jackson.
Yeah, it's starting to get exciting, boys. You can always smell it down at the footy club that the business end's starting to come around, and we've got to really take it up a notch or two. And as Ken sort of mentioned, he still believes, and we believe as a footy club, that we've got some room to improve.
I don't normally talk about it this far out, Roo, but Jackson, I will need some finals tickets, just a few.
Oh, no!
Shouldn't have done that, bitch.
No! I just want to get in early.
No! You've just jinxed yourselves.
No, I haven't. No, I'm confident.
Oh, if you lose on Saturday, Jackson,
no,
Yeah,
I
will blame Dits on that one. But
no, Dits. You should never do that.
It's far too
tight. You've resisted all year. I've been saying that you remember that first time you come in, Jackson, I said you could win the flag, and Dits goes, don't.
Yeah,
Yeah, I reckon, listen to him, Jacko. Yeah. He tries to do this sort of stuff. He tries to do it every year, and he's just got the early crow.
He's confident, which I like, but
exactly.
We've got a few more rounds to go. I think the ladder's far too tight to be talking about finals this far.
I just want to note it now that I asked first, right? Or your list of all you have to get them for.
Dits, what are you talking about? You messaged me 5 weeks ago asking for finals.
I did not.
You're in that exclusive 1870 Port Adelaide Club where you get that big bomber jacket that... You love wearing.
That's it. And when I'm sleeping, it's cold in Harndorf.
What a beautiful
Hey, Jacko, before
is.
You go.
Talking about sleeping in your clothes, boys. My missus last night said, you're getting up at 6:30, sleep in your clothes to go into the station. Because she didn't want to be woken up this morning. I couldn't believe it.
I get that every day.
You know, with your clothes on, Jacko.
No, exactly. That's what I thought. I'm trying to get the second baby, but it ain't happening, boys. Okay.
Hey, mate, good luck this weekend. And by the way, Jacko, I reckon you're playing great footy too. You sneak forward and kick a couple of goals
kick
each week.
15. This
You're
year.
Doing very, very nicely, mate. Well done. Thanks for coming in. We'll talk to you next week.
Nah, thanks, boys. Enjoy your another holiday.
Jacko, we're working up here.
Jackson Tringo, thanks to Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Pete Hellier coming up soon.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M, Roo and Dits for breakfast. We are in the top end, Roo. Tell me about the weather up here. What's it today?
Well, you can give a weather report for a month at a time. Yeah. It's 33 during the day and 22 at night.
What's it tomorrow?
At 33.
And what about the next day?
33.
Okay, and the day after that?
It might drop to 32.
Right, and it goes on like that forever. Not the same in Adelaide, we're led to believe. Let's cross to Channel 7's Gertie Taylor, who's on the banks of the Torrens this morning. Gertie, how many layers of coats and jumpers and scarves have you got on?
I have 4 layers on this morning. It's a very chilly 11 degrees. We're only expecting a top of 15 here in Adelaide this morning. And there is still severe weather warnings in place for most of the state, including the metro region and the Mount Lofty ranges.
Has there been much damage around with the wind that was expected?
Yeah, it has been the winds that have caused the most havoc. At the moment, we've seen about a dozen trees came toppling down over the past 24 hours, one large gum came down on a couple of homes at Norwood. And there's also been a landslide at Kangarilla, just south of Adelaide. And an antenna was blown onto power lines in Port Lincoln, cutting off electricity to about 3,500 customers yesterday.
Roo needs to know about the Port Lincoln pub. Oh, no.
I know. It's always the West Coast.
Yeah. Actually, I ran into people here yesterday from Kangaroo Island and they said the ferry had been cancelled as well over there. So must be a bit wet and wild down that way too.
Yeah, that's right. So the ferry services have been disrupted for, this will be the third day now. So at least 800 passengers have been affected during this time. Yesterday, a couple of services were okay in the morning, but then when those winds picked up, they were all cancelled, and then today I reckon they're going to be cancelled too. We are expecting the wind to peak around midday today, about 50 to 60 k's an hour with gusts of up to 90 k's.
Gertie, we were with Tim Vince, the Triple M farmer, who is up here in Darwin as well, but he had a big smile on his face. He thought that his farm over on the York Peninsula was going to get 80 mils of rain this week and that it was going to push across a lot of the state. Has he got it right or has he got the wrong weather report?
Oh, I'm not too sure of what the rain's doing. We've had a bit here this morning. I know the Eyre Peninsula, I think, was going to miss out again, so if the farmers in York get some, that's good news. My grandparents are over there too, so they'll be very happy.
Good on you, Gertie. Thanks so much and stay warm. Gertie Taylor there from Channel 7. I think Tim's gone troppo, Roo. He's been up here too long.
he might have got to. We got Pete Hellier coming up next.
Roo and Dits on Triple M. 7:42, Roo and Dits on this Tuesday morning. We are up in Darwin where it's absolutely magnificent.
It is up. Is magnificent here, Dits. We're going down the croc cage tomorrow. We're going to tell a couple of yarns about what we got up to yesterday next. But right now we've got Pete Hellier with us. Good morning, Pete.
Morning, guys. Morning, guys. How's the sunshine in Darwin?
Beautiful. Dits has got his wax chest out near the pool and he's looking gorgeous. He got his chest waxed only a week or so ago, Pete, and looks like he's got measles on there at the moment.
Broken out a bit of a rash.
Got red dots everywhere.
Rash. I don't recommend it.
Did you stop at the chest, Dits, or did you go a little bit further south?
No, stop there.
Okay.
The pain at the breast was enough for
I was it. Screaming, so we had to stop there, yeah.
Hey, I'm glad you guys are in Darwin, but I would love to have joined you, to be honest, but I have a bit of a An issue with Darwin, a bit of an emotional issue. I had a mate, Jono, who went up there years ago and swam with the Crocs, and I've never seen him again. He didn't come back. So,
whatever
you do, I'm sure there's some program manager who's saying to you guys, "Be great if you swim with the Crocs." Don't do it. They say,
nah,
say
very funny. We're doing that today.
Oh no, I had no idea you were doing. Oh my god!
Sorry, our crocodile is pretty friendly, Pete. His name's Chopper.
It sounds lovely.
I've just Googled it. They call it the cage of death. You can't call it that.
It's like the house of pain in Perth.
You can't call it the cage of death.
There seems to be some little signs and warnings along the way, guys.
Yeah. That's what Jono calls it.
Jono. There should be a memorial photo of Jono as you walk into the cage of death. Just look out for him. I'll send you a link. It's called a Croc Death Roll. Just watch that before you go in.
Nice. Now, you've been away on holidays yourself. You went to Japan.
Oh, have you guys been to Japan? I'm not sure if we spoke about it before we went.
What were you over for, some sumo wrestling or something, Pete?
No, it wasn't the season, so I went over to do a pre-season. The chafing in that humidity as well was an issue, but I did want to go to the sumo wrestling to see the big fellas in action, but they weren't in season, unfortunately. But they are a small they're a small people, the Japanese, as far as size wise. So much so that we went to Universal Studios, and twice they asked me to sit in the roller coaster chair to make sure I could fit. Twice on the Harry Potter ride. On the Harry Potter ride and some other Hollywood Dream roller coaster ride. They said to me, "You got to come here, sir." And I was like, "Oh, they're taking me to the front of the line, aren't they?" And they're just like, "They're just sitting here, sir." "Oh, am I going to get my photo taken, am I?" And I just sat in there, and they go, "Okay, yeah, fair enough, you can ride." What's going on? It is I'd tell you, it's a beautiful place. I highly recommend Japan if you're looking for a place. We went with our three kids. And I've got to say, they are a beautiful people. Very reserved. You know, that if you need help, they will come over and help you, but then they'll just leave you alone. And they're very quiet. They're very dignified people. Like the one thing I noticed, and my wife noticed it as well, over 2.5 weeks, there was no aggro. Like, you didn't hear anyone mouthing off or anything. Everyone's just, like, very civil. And I get back to Australia, get back to Melbourne, I'm in the taxi line after 2.5 weeks of these, you know, very civilised people, and I'm in the taxi line with my family, waiting for our maxi cab. We're near in the maxi cab with all our luggage. There's three guys in front of me, and they had a fair bit of luggage as well. They're trying to get into a regular cab. And the cab driver's having a chat to the bloke who's organising all the cabs, and the bloke's getting a bit shirty, and he comes over to me and he goes, "This is the first Australian I've spoken to since I've been back in the country about for 5 minutes. He goes, "Mate, don't tell them you got a North Altona. They won't effing take you." I said, "Welcome back to Australia, mate. Thanks for coming back."
Just on the Japanese being so nice and hospitable, the people in Darwin didn't think that in 1942.
They've come a long way.
I just went to the War Museum the other day, and it was all about how Japan bombed the absolute bejesus out of this place, I tell you.
We did go to Hiroshima, actually, and visited the museum and the A-bomb site, which is a dome that was basically still the same as it was moments after the bomb had hit it. So it's all commemorated in Hiroshima, more so the Hiroshima bomb, more so than the bombing of Darwin. That didn't get much of a mention, but
no, I wouldn't have thought.
But they have come a long way, and hey, maybe that's maybe we can all learn a little bit from the Japanese.
Yes, indeed. They make nice sushi and different things. Now you've got a new TV. You got another TV show called Cram. What's this all about?
Yeah, I was hoping the announcement was going to be me as the new Doctor Who, but I missed out on that gig. It's Cram. Yeah, it's a new show. Channel 10 are paying me in brashest vouchers. I'm grateful. It's a really exciting concept. It's the kind of spin on this game show is that we're a game show that gives you the answers before we ask the questions. So you might know, you might play memory games on your mobile phones, or your wives might play them, or your kids might play them. And this is like a TV version of that. We kind of give you all these bunch of facts, and then we ask questions based on those facts. So it's about recall and memory, and it's going to have celebrities in it, and it's I guess a panel style of setup. But
so we'll get a call, will we?
Oh well, of course, mate. Well, you know, I mean, we had you penned in, but then we heard about the cage of death. So we'll just have some backups in place.
See if they get through it first.
Give us the answer. If only had that concept around when I did matriculation, that'd be fantastic.
It's the equivalent of looking at the back of a maths book.
Good on you, Pete. Good luck. We'll talk next week.
There you guys. Hey, good luck. Can you produce the text me to make sure you guys are still around? Yeah. I just want to make sure I've got
your fill-ins. You'll be talking to our fill-ins next week.
I'll say a prayer for I'll say a prayer for Jono for you too, mate. I'll pass it on. Best wishes.
I reckon Dave Gleason will be watching this. He might have a kick next week.
Good on you, Pete.
Cheers, guys.
See you, Pete.
Pete Hellier. Hey, in a moment, Roo, we're going to talk about... What about the adventure we went through last night here in Darwin?
Unbelievable
out
experience.
Fishing with Michael Long and his family. It was amazing. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. 7.54 it is, Roo. What a night. By the way, just coming up too, chance to win 40 grand.
Yeah, exactly right. We're going to read out three names that are on the standby list, and we're going to pick one out to have a big chance of winning $40,000, and it's only a couple of weeks away now.
This
the showdown.
This is kick at the Adelaide Oval before the showdown. Yeah. Last night, Roo, it's hard to describe in words what you and I did. We were told we're going fishing. Mm. I've never gone fishing like this before.
I didn't see a rod.
No.
There were no rods. We went spear fishing with Steve Long, which is Michael Long's older brother. Yep. There's seven brothers and two sisters in the Long family. Father of Jack, who's on the Tiwi Islands. But we went out in little tinnies, and that's where we had our first problem, Ditz, wasn't it? Because the tinnies that the Long brothers usually go fishing in usually contain blokes built like sort of Cyril Rioli or Michael Long. So when you have Ditz, Tim Vince, who's over 100 kilos as well, a little 15-horsepower engine just didn't quite get the job done. So.
And what was bothering me is that the tinny was about an inch out of the water, and, of course, there are crocs out there. And it was pitch black. We could not see a thing, so I was a little concerned.
So we had to do a bit of boat swapping for starters.
Yeah, so halfway out in the ocean, I had to go from one boat to the other, and as I cocked my leg over to get into the other boat, the boats parted, so I nearly ended up in the drink. And I've done the splits. I've been ripped halfway up my, you know, backside. But anyway, eventually changed boats.
Yeah, but I've done a bit of fishing before. It's never done anything like this. So Steve Long's up the front of the boat, standing up right up on the front with a spotlight and a spear.
Yep.
And he's just using his spear in about a foot and a half of water, 2 foot of water, using his spear to push along the bottom. And with a spotlight, you can see fish in the shallow water, which, never done anything like that before. Absolutely dead quiet. You don't want to move the water, or you don't want to send out any noises, anything to scare them, because they can be a bit jumpy. And then all of a sudden, throws the spear, whack, straight into the back of the barra, and it's kicking and pulling. And if you get one that's too big, you have to let it go, because it'll pull you off the front of the boat. Mm. But, yeah, how talented are they throwing the spears?
Yeah, so we were going for a barramundi. I didn't get any barramundi, but I managed a big mud crab, which I'm looking forward to cooking up
today.
Tell
the truth.
What?
It was already dead.
It wasn't.
It was already dead. How did you get the mud crab?
Because it didn't move. Every fish I tried to spear, I missed every fish by a mile. I was hopeless
you
at it.
You picked on a bloody dead mud crab.
Yeah. But you know the scary thing,
Roo? You feel guilty about that?
No, not at all. Okay. Going through the mangroves, though, in under trees, had to duck down under things, and I tell you what, there were snakes in the trees. There's
Someone
crocs
got bitten
in the
on
water.
The face by a snake.
Yeah, I know. No, it was very scary stuff, but it was an adventure.
It was an adventure.
So we've come back with a couple of big barra, a big mud crab that I caught, of course.
Yeah. And they saw the biggest croc they'd seen in that area.
So the boat that I was in, we went over and saw this croc that was over 3 metres long.
Which was double the length of any size croc they'd seen in the ocean in that area for a long time.
So it got caught last night. That's how we got to see it. They catch them to get them out of the harbour here
so
it's not too dangerous.
But unbelievable experience with Steve Long, just a ripping fella. And Michael come down to meet us at the boat ramp afterwards and bought a couple of kilos of prawns down that they'd caught that day out with a net, doing a bit of prawning. So we washed that down with a beer, and then we got into bed about 11:30 last night before our show this morning.
Discipline.
Very disciplined. What music were we listening to at the boat ramp?
Oh, country and western. Country, I don't know what it was.
Western music.
Blaring out. Yeah.
Having a beer, eating prawns, talking footy and farming with the Longs and Tim Vince. What a great night out on a Monday.
Yeah, it was. Nah, good stuff. And thanks to all the locals that looked after us as well. Hey, Roo, in a moment we will announce three names, a chance to go on the standby list to kick for $40,000. Roo and Ditts on Triple M.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts and starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
A couple of weeks ago, we were able to announce on this program about the big positive news as far as Whale is concerned.
Yep.
And it seems to be just getting better and better, Roo.
It does. Looks like they're going to tip over $1 billion into the Whale plant in the short to medium term. But we thought we'd get an expert on Channel 7's political reporter, Mike Smithson. G'day, Smitho.
Good morning, boys. Yes, great news for Whale. $1 billion. That's a lot of money, isn't it?
That is a lot of money.
Sanjeev Gupta, who is the head of the alliance that has bought the steelworks, or bought RM, the whole company, I spoke to him at length yesterday. He won't say how much he's paid for the company, which must be a pretty penny in itself, but he's saying $1 billion worth of capital investment into the plant here at Whyalla, so jobs will be saved, all 2,500, and he's talking about expansion plans. Just when we thought, well, just to tread water and survive would be good enough, he's talking about expanding it and having a much bigger export market out of Whyalla back to the UK. So I think everyone here is a bit stunned, thinking, well, it couldn't have been any worse a year ago, and really one would have thought hard for the plant to survive. Now it's you know, like the magic wand has been waved, and bright times and better times and permanently good times seem to be approaching.
Now, I haven't been able to read every article about this, Smitho, but I think he has mentioned power in South Australia already. I just wonder if someone of this size, you know, of his investment size, is able to pressure our state and our government to say, look, you need to get this right if I'm to invest in your state.
Look, I think it's behind the scenes he'd be saying that very strongly, but he gave the impression yesterday, because there is this cogeneration plant, all the heat that comes out of the blast furnace here, and they can capture that heat and regenerate it into power production. It's a mini power plant basically on site. He gave the impression that he can keep his power costs, and when you think when you're smelting steel and whatever else, that it's an enormous cost. But whilst he said power is incredibly important to this state, he's got his part of the operation under control. But I think behind the scenes, both state and federal government would be saying almost to his face, whatever you want, we'll give you, because he's effectively saved Whyalla from extinction.
He's saying the factory can pump out 1.2 to 1.5 million tonnes of steel now, but potentially in the medium term could be 5 to 10 million. So that's sort of 4 to 8 times what its capacity to what it's doing now. That's got to be lots of jobs and lots of flow on to lots of different businesses in Whyalla.
Well, really, it goes even further than that too, because house prices here were almost... Well, they were stagnant. You could just about give houses away
down
and no
backwards.
One wanted them. And people were getting themselves into all sorts of trouble because they bought a house, they had a mortgage, the bank's not going to let them off the mortgage. They faced the prospect of no job, a house, a mortgage, and no one wanting to buy their house because there were no jobs here. Catch 22. But this has improved that situation and it flows through to business. So, and look, this guy's a white knight that's ridden into town. And I had my doubts
you know, you think, well, how do you turn these fortunes around?
Yep.
Or the fortunes. Well, he's got a global steel empire. And he said, yep, Whyalla is crucial to that because it's got all the raw elements here that feed into it. And as he sees it, it's one of the best buys he could ever make.
Now, he said he didn't get it for a bargain, but I tell you what, he's smiling like he picked it up like a bargain. Does he ever stop smiling? His big flash white teeth are always on display.
Flash white teeth and flash suit as well. I checked that out very closely. I thought, nicely tailored suit from Savile Row in London, I would have thought. But look, you wonder, a bargain to him is probably much less of a bargain to us. I don't know.
It's good news anyway.
He hasn't bought into this lightly. He is no fool. He knows exactly what he's doing. And I would think the people of Whyalla should have every confidence in him because there's nothing to suggest otherwise.
Smitho, while you're away, we heard that they put on over 300 jobs at Roxby Downs and another 700 or so to come as well. So that on the back of Arium, safe future and another $1 billion tipped in there. Some good news finally for regional South Australia.
Long overdue. Long overdue.
Good on you, Smitho. Thanks so much. Channel 7's political correspondent. There he is, Mike Smithson. You'll see him on 7 News tonight.
Excuse me.
Have you heard?
Psst. Hey, have you heard?
Have you heard?
The rumour mill.
Rue, over the last couple of days, we've spoken about the big AFL scandal.
And we are going to speak about it again very shortly in the Angels segment.
Mm-hmm. What have you heard?
Just a little rumour floating around that it all come out from a disgruntled employee.
Ooh.
Yes.
Someone not happy.
Someone not happy.
Current employee or former?
I'm not sure whether we should say.
Okay.
You know the rules better than me.
All right. So someone, that explains it all. Disgruntled, so not happy, and thought, bugger that. I'm getting a raw deal. I'm going to take a few down with me. Is that what's kind of?
I think that's might be the case. Right. Might be.
More may come out about that.
Might be.
Good juicy.
Well, they said
goss.
There's a few text messages floating around recently.
Conveniently. All right.
So a little bit of juicy gossip.
I'll look out for more. Disgruntled employee of the AFL. Who could that be?
Don't know.
All right. Let's move on. We've got the Angels coming up next. We're going to talk about the AFL scandal with them. Who's right? Who's wrong? Should the women be in the poo as well? We'll find out with the Angels.
Triple M. 104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics, the big issues.
Well, not really, but we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Righto, we got Alice the Wag up here in Darwin. How are you, Alice?
Good morning.
We got Ange, married to the package, Mr. South Australia. How are you, Ange?
Hello, good, thank you.
And we've got Mel. Now, good morning, Mel.
Morning.
Are you a bit emotional and tired at the moment or not? Are you coping okay?
Oh. I'm tired. I'm not too emotional. I think I'm all
okay.
Right. Unless I'm all right. Displaying that without realising.
Don't get paranoid.
Oh, now I'm paranoid.
She's not in the corner crying.
Mel's pregnant. I'm just
trying
to. She's glowing.
Now. Thank you.
I should have said she's glowing rather than emotional. And sorry, Mel.
That's all right. No, I'm going fine, thanks.
God, am I backpedalling here quick enough or not?
It's,
righto, first topic, Roo.
Yeah, we're talking about the AFL affair, which everyone knows about. A couple of boys or a couple of men who were married, had affairs with staff at the AFL. They've both resigned. Some people suggest they were pushed. We think the girls haven't lost their jobs. One is a lawyer. The other one runs Auskick in New South Wales. So both got very good jobs, both well-credentialed, both got a lot of responsibility. Girls, do you think A, the boys should have lost their jobs, B, the girls should lose their jobs, or C, none of them should have lost their jobs?
Let's go to Ange first. What do you think, Ange?
Look, I think there always is consequences if you decide to dip the pen in the company ink. So you need to be prepared for those consequences. It depends if there was a company policy with into, you know, office
screwing
relationships,
well,
I guess.
Well, let's take that
back.
So hang on. Take that back to a step. If you joined Triple M and they said there's a policy here that
don't
you can't fraternise at work. Yeah. I mean, should that be a policy?
Well, no, because we have had some very successful relationships in this office. Mel, our button pusher, is one of them. Yes. She's married to Danny.
And we have
some other couples here that have, you know, got together at a Christmas party and now married with kids and happily ever after. So,
Can I just say to everyone listening, you want to get invited to one of our Christmas shows?
I think... I think there should be consequences for both parties because, you know, they both participated in the act, so there should be consequences for both, not just the males.
All right, Mel. Thanks, Ange. Mel, is it... it's been... The wording has been at times men abusing their power. I mean, is that true or not?
It doesn't sound like it in this instance, does it? It doesn't sound like it's a little intern who isn't capable of making her own life choices, whether they're good ones or bad ones. So I think, you know... If it was someone who was in a powerless sort of situation and a man was using his power to coerce her into a relationship that she wouldn't otherwise be a part of, that'd be a big problem. Doesn't sound like what's happened here, though.
No, there's been no complaints or anything at all.
No, and if it's just a grudge from someone who's already left the organisation, I know I wouldn't want my bosses, whether it be the general manager here or the CEO or anyone else, putting their tentacles into my relationships or love life. I'm allowed to stuff up. Everyone's allowed to make mistakes, and these guys and girls have made some pretty bad ones.
And even if you're, can I just say, even if you are a married woman in working at the AFL and you decide to have an affair, is that your decision?
It's still a choice. It's a bad choice, but it's a choice.
Yeah, but you might be unhappy, or you know, I'm not saying it's right or whatever, but.
Marriages break up every day.
Yeah, but correct. Could be a good choice. You could be in a bad marriage and you make the choice to move on. Mel, how's the nanny going, by the way?
It's just getting off track, isn't it?
No, I haven't spoken to you for a couple of weeks, so we've been away.
Don't worry about Danny and she's feeling or anything.
Oh, well, she had a week off while I had a week off, and she's back today, so she's
can't
fantastic.
Can't be in the same building together, is that right?
Yeah, we work separately.
Yeah, righto. Alice the Wag.
I think, like, obviously, morally, these guys have done definitely the wrong thing, but I don't think they should implement their job.
Implement or impact?
Impact. Influence. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I don't think it's relatable, you know? It's one thing to do the wrong thing
and
the wife...
Don't think it's
relevant? Yeah. Far out. I'm losing it. Good. The sun's really got to me.
The sun.
Should the girls lose their job, Wake?
Well, if the guys have lost their job, I think the girls should lose their job because then that's the AFL policy and that's what they're deciding to do. I don't think the guys should have lost their job. Like, if they weren't married, would they have lost their job, do you think?
No, probably not.
Yeah.
And can I ask the three of you?
That's what we're going to ask you.
Yeah.
Because I think their wives should be giving them hell. I don't think it comes into their career. I don't think it's related.
And you work in management. Can I just ask you, though, what about the, and power is not the right word, but what about the influence this can have? You know, when other people in an office situation say, and this is very hypothetical because it's not happening in our workplace, but, oh, the CEO is having an affair with that young secretary. Doesn't the rest of the workforce, don't the rest of the workers all of a sudden turn against her in that situation or have a less opinion of the CEO in that case? It really does affect the workplace, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. And just, you know, the gossip, you know, the negative, you know, productivity that involves. Yeah, it's not good around. Yeah, that's
so
right.
Could that be where the AFL's coming from with this, that maybe that is it is affecting the workplace at a professional level?
Definitely.
But then the women are at fault as well. If the women didn't want it to happen, then obviously that's an issue.
All right, let's move on. Thank you for your comments on that. It's a touchy one. Now, we're up here in Darwin, and we went to this beautiful place a couple of nights ago, Sunday night, for
Sailing Club.
The Sailing Club. And wouldn't you believe it, the sun sets, Roo.
Yeah.
The sun goes down at about 6 o'clock each
doesn't
day.
Doesn't happen anywhere else.
Apparently not. So Wag is getting that excited, and we have to go to the Sailing Club because the sunset is like something you've never seen before. We got into this debate. I said, but it'll happen again tomorrow, and it'll happen again the day after. It happens every day. In fact, if you stand on Grange Beach or West Beach, it happens down there as well, or Glenelg Beach.
My wife was taking photos like she'd never seen the sun before.
Wag, what is it? Seriously, you looked at me like I was an alien. What is it about this sunset that's so incredible?
It's amazing. You're on holidays. It's a different sun. It's
What?
Oh, no.
What?
No, not like I know it's the same sun, but it's a different spot.
Wag walked past me. She goes, Ditz is such a D-head. He said... It's like as if the sun doesn't go down every day.
Go and sit on your own. You live down near Glenelg. Go and stand on Glenelg Beach one day and look at the sun go down there. It is magnificent.
No, it goes redder here and it's more tropical looking.
Oh,
and it's just like the opportunity. It's the memories. You're standing on the beach with your friends. It's just
It's going to happen. It'll happen again today, you know.
But this is what I say. Why do men always want sex then? You can have it every day. Why do you keep asking for it?
Long bow to draw.
Different subject.
No, right, it's the same thing every
different
day.
Different result. Mel the button pusher.
I think you need to cheer up, Dits. You were looking at a beautiful sunset. Just enjoy it, for God's sake.
I do, but if I miss it, like the point was that if we had have missed it, you know, it was just going to be the biggest disaster of all time. I just think if I live to be, I don't know, 80 to pluck a number, 365 times 80, I think, you know, I might get to see the odd sunset.
He got a bit stubborn after that and started drinking with his back to the sun.
I did.
So you're stubborn. Righto,
Ange.
Oh, God, what are you, the Scrooge of nature? Scrooge of sunsets? Jeez. You've got to enjoy it. And they're all different. And, you know, you just take in that experience.
How are they different?
The sun's done a lot of damage to tits over the years.
Yeah, it's revenge.
It's the way that, you know, if there are clouds or no clouds or the colour of the sky.
Oh, hell.
It's stunning.
I didn't realise that. Mm-hmm. Throw that into the mix.
But then he walked out and he was carrying his plate of food, so he was happy again, I guess. And he goes...
And what a plate it was.
It was huge.
Two people carried it out.
We love a buffet.
But then he actually helped himself to the buffet and he wasn't allowed to, but that was another story. But he walked out and he goes, geez, it's quite a good view, isn't it? But he was talking about the sunset, but he goes, it's not the sunset, the sun's already set, but the sky was still pink. It's like, that's still the sunset, Dits, even if the sun's gone.
Oh, God.
You're a grumpy old man these days.
Thank you. All right, thanks, Angels.
Thank you. See ya.
Ruined Dits on Triple M. 8:48, Ruined Dits for breakfast here on Triple M, up in the top end in Darwin. Roo, what are we up to today?
Yeah, we're just going to go for a little stroll down through the city, Dits, cruise down Mitchell Street.
Mm-hmm.
And go to the Cage of Death.
Right. Sounds inviting. Why would someone call this the Cage of Death?
Well, what do you think they'd call it, the Cage of Death?
Your chance
of dying in a cage.
Call it, you know, please don't say that. Call it Swim with the Crocodiles or Look at the Crocs or something like that. You can't call it Cage of Death.
Well, that's what they're calling it. And we are going to go down in a cage. You've got a couple of issues, though. You're not sure if you're going to get eaten by a crocodile or drowned.
No, because I can't swim.
So your heart rate's going to go through the roof a little bit.
A bit concerned about the shield as well. It's perspex.
Yeah, it's
is
pretty
that strong
perspex.
Do you think?
Well, I've been out in the shark cage that had a perspex side on it and looked like there was absolutely nothing between you and the shark when it was swimming towards me over in Port Lincoln. But this is amazing. It's in the main street of Darwin and you can, go down in the perspex cage and we're having a croc called Chopper. And we're going early this morning.
We've actually got a choice.
Because it hasn't been fed yet.
No, it could. There's Chopper, there's Axel, or we could have William and Kate. Why can't we have William and Kate? Sounds a bit more sedate to me.
I think they're giving us Chopper for a reason.
Yeah. Say here, I'm reading the website, there's a minimum age restriction. I need to check that out.
I think you're over 15.
You think? Oh,
I think
you're over
15. But 5.5 metre croc, so we're going to go down and do that today. Hopefully we're going to get some good footage. We've got GoPros that we can take underwater as well. And we'll put that up on triplem.com.au as soon as we get it cleared today from our legal team.
Right, the Cage of Death. You know, I saw a croc last night when we were out fishing.
Yeah.
We were out spearing. There was only a baby. Yeah, 3.5 metres it was.
That's a baby.
Out in the water.
Yeah.
What about the other day as well? I went just some of the adventures we've taken part in up here. And it really is good. Look,
it's brilliant.
I know when you talk about the NT, it seems as though everyone ever talks about are crocs, but they are up here, unfortunately, if you go swimming. So we went out to the waterfalls, didn't we? You went the day before I did with your family, and you were swimming at, I think it's called Wongai Falls. You were calling it Wangy.
Oh, well,
I think it's Wongai. Anyway, Wongai Falls.
Sorry.
And you said to me, oh, it's beautiful. You've got to go. And then we read the article where you'd been swimming. What happened?
Yeah, they pulled a 3-metre croc out of there in March.
Fantastic. And now they're warning people not to swim there. I just can't get my head around this. But anyway, look, we went out there anyway and we had a swim. And the thing was, when I got there, there were 100 people in there swimming. So I thought,
100
safety
to one.
Numbers,
How long did you back the 100 to 1 shot?
Never. No. And I must say, I had Kate in a bear hug. I did not let her out of my sight.
What? You're on the back of Kate?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a good swimmer, so I had to hang on to someone.
Oh, you're shocking. Yeah. All right, we'll report back tomorrow with how we go in the croc cage.
With Chopper.
Yes.